Let's go to the first book in the Bible, Genesis 13, and the first four verses of this chapter. And a very simple thought for us tonight out of this chapter, chapter 13, verses 1 through 4. And then we will, after we read this, we'll pray and have our special. I appreciate the folks who have filled in today, the Russ family and Brother Chamberlain were supposed to sing, of course, and some folks have filled in, and I appreciate that so very much. So whoever will sing, will sing. We'll get into the message in a minute. Let's stand together, please, in honor of God's good book. And we need to read the first four verses here. And if you would, please join me on the even-numbered verses of Genesis 13. It's what our Bible says in verse 1. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel and unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Father, I thank you for this passage. I thank you for how you've spoken to my heart from it recently. And Lord, I pray that I could just transfer some of that that's been said to me to these folks tonight. God, I know it's been a help to me, and I pray it'll be a help to everybody in the room. Thank you for your word, the inspired, preserved word that you gave us, God, that still lives. It's quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. Have its way, and may it have its way in our lives tonight through the work of the Spirit. We'll thank you. Please help us in these moments. In Christ's name I ask it, and amen. Thank you. Be seated.
Locked up in chains, sin held me captive to sorrow and pain. Years of frustration as love passed me by, until the Master heard my heart's cry. For grace, marvelous grace, I needed grace to pardon and make me whole. Grace, marvelous grace, flows from above with infinite love. Marvelous grace.
I was downhearted, broken inside, praying for mercy with no
singing tonight and enjoyed that and the message especially. Very good. I want to speak to you from verse number 3 and 4 of Genesis 13 this evening. And he went on his journeys. This is Abram from the south, even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Look at that in verse number 3. Unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning. And so this thought tonight, back at the beginning. Back at the beginning. And let's pray together. Father, thank you for your grace that came to our hearts when we needed it. Thank you for the grace that's continued to come to our lives, Lord, every day. I thank you, God, that that grace is infinite, never runs out. Lord, there's more to follow. We rejoice in that good song tonight. Thank you, God, for that great truth. Now, Lord, may your Spirit have control in these moments. Please help me. I want to be a blessing. Use the message, I pray, in someone's heart, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. And amen. If you don't or didn't read the end of chapter 12, you may not read a lot into verse number 3 of chapter 13, where the Bible says, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning. You may not pay much attention to that phrase. But if you take a moment to go back and read, we won't do it, but if you take a moment to read chapter 12, verses 10 through 20, then you stop and think a little bit more about chapter 13, verse number 3. It begins to open up a pretty good truth to you. You see, at the end of chapter number 12, we find Abraham, or Abram as he's called here, in the land of Egypt. Abram was there because of a famine in the land where he had pitched his tent, which was between Bethel and Hai. He fled to Egypt, which was not one of God's scheduled stops for him, because of a famine that was in the land where his tent was. Now, you know, Egypt is a picture of the world. So here is a child of God engrossed in the world, and Abram gets into a mess. He lies in the land of Egypt, and he does something worse than lie himself. He commands his wife to lie as well. He says when he gets down there, says, you tell them, if they ask, you tell them that you are my sister and not my wife. Now, you understand that that was a half-truth. A half-truth. She was, I knew I was going to forget this. She was either, they either had the same dad or they had the same mother. I think they had the same father is what it was. So she was a half-sister. But understand something, this was a half-truth. But the intention was to mislead or deceive. And when you tell a half-truth with the intention to mislead or deceive, that's lying. That's what that is. So he lied. And he asked his wife to lie. And he asked his wife to lie for his sake. He said, I want you to lie so that they will take you, but they'll let me live. A little bit of me-ism here, in what Abraham is doing. So those lies are told, and sure enough, when they get down there, Pharaoh takes Sarah into his house. And he's going to make Sarah his wife. In the meantime, Abraham is living sumptuously. And he is faring very well. Pharaoh gives Abram sheep, and he gives him oxen, and he gives him asses and men servants and maid servants and she-asses and camels. I mean, you understand, friend, that Abram got a lot of his wealth from Pharaoh's hand in the land of Egypt. So he just loaded him up while he was down there. So because Abram wouldn't protect Sarah, God had to. Here's Sarah living in Pharaoh's palace, and Pharaoh's about to take her to be his wife. And so God sends plagues to Pharaoh's house, and the plagues got real bad, and Pharaoh began to look things over, and Pharaoh began to figure all this out, and he gave Sarah back to Abram, and he basically said, now here's your wife, I don't know why you did this to me, get out of here. So here you got Abraham out of place in Egypt, and it did not work. When a child of God gets out of the will of God, it is alarming for everyone. I want to make a statement tonight. Hear me carefully. A Christian out of God's will is a liability to others. A Christian out of God's will is a liability to others. If a husband gets out of God's will, he's a liability to his wife and his kids. If a wife gets out of God's will, she's a liability to her husband and their children. I've seen over the years here at Faith Baptist Church, I have warned young people over the years here to avoid other young people who were grossly out of God's will. That's not my job to walk around and play detective and try to figure out every little minuscule thing going on in somebody's life. I don't have time to do that, nor do I care to do that. I don't need to do that. There's enough going on. But brother, when somebody turns their back on God in a gross way, and I see a young person in the church who's not yet gone that direction, hobnobbing with somebody who's out of the will of God in a gross fashion, I have warned young people, you better avoid that person. Because a Christian out of the will of God is a liability to others. Liability to others. And Abram was a liability to his wife. He was a liability to Pharaoh. The whole thing was a mess. You know, Joseph, we talked about this before. Joseph was at Potiphar's house some years later in the land of Egypt. And the Bible says that God blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. So here's a young man who's in the will of God. Now, he's in Egypt, but not because he fled to go there. He's in Egypt because he was sold down there. And he's obeying God, serving God. And his heart is after God. And God's with him. And he's in the will of God in the land of Egypt. And God blesses everybody around him because of his faithfulness. We've talked about it over the years. I was in a place one time, and a fellow that goes to church here was, and I had mentioned that on Wednesday night or Sunday night in the message about Joseph being an asset to Pharaoh, to a Potiphar because of how he lived. And the fellow in our church said, "Yeah, I came to work today and I told my boss what you said about a Christian being an asset to a business." I thought, well, bless God, that's wonderful, amen. And that's the truth. I believe with all my heart. There's no idea how God may bless some business in this area because of some good man in this church who's just faithfully serving the Lord. Just like he did Joseph. God blessed all of Potiphar's house because Joseph was living for God. But now, wait a minute. The opposite can be true as well. Jonah was running from God. And God didn't bless the sailors on that boat. In fact, God sent a horrible storm, and those mariners, those seasoned seamen, if you will, they were afraid and they cried out to their false god, and the ship was having all kinds of trouble because of that backslidden preacher who was out of the will of God. I tell you again, a Christian out of the will of God is a liability to others. That ought to be cause for us to try to stay in God's will in our life. All right? So that's what happened here. So Abraham gets booted out of Egypt. And after that bad experience down in the land of Egypt, Abram makes a good decision. He comes out of Egypt. And in chapter 13, verse 3, he says, "You know what? I've been through a mess. I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to go back to where I was at the beginning. I'm going to go back to the beginning." What he's referring to is in chapter 12, verses number 1 through 3. God had called Abram out of the land of Haran. He had given Abram some wonderful promises. You see that in verse number 2. "I will make of thee a great nation," he said. "I will bless thee, make thy name great, thou shalt be a blessing." And then he gave him verse number 3. "And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee." And that promise is still good to God's people today. Still good to the Jew. Nations and people who are good to God's people, the Jewish people, God blesses them. Nations that wreak havoc with the Jewish people, God wreaks havoc with them. That's still a promise that's good today. So he gave them these great promises. And then the Bible says in chapter 4 that he departed after the Lord had spoken to him and he obeyed God, came out of the land of Haran. When you get to verses 6 through 8, you read where Abram pitched his tent. Look at verse number 8, if you will. "And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord." You see, when he came out of Egypt in chapter 13, things were a mess. He'd been out of the will of God. He fled down there because of the famine. When he came out, he said, "You know what I need to do? Things have been such a mess in my life. I think I just need to go back at the beginning." Back to the beginning. Now, let me ask you about it tonight, child of God. How is it with you? You know, the first of the year is a good time to let the Holy Spirit do a good evaluation on us. What was 2010 like for you? I said this morning, maybe it wasn't a tragic year in the sense of some horrible moral collapse, and hopefully, and I don't think it was for most people in this church. Might have been for some, I can't remember. But anyway, maybe it wasn't some horrible thing. But maybe it was just, you know, when you look back, I'm talking about spiritually now. I'm not talking about your job. I'm not talking about your health. I'm talking about spiritually. I'm talking about the oil that makes the machine function smoothly. You look back at the home, you look back at family, you look back at your personal life, your marriage, and there's just, it's just, 2010 was just kind of a, maybe it was a wilderness year. Not much accomplished. A lack of joy, a lack of peace. And even those around you have been affected because of you. Because maybe in a way, just kind of just got a little sideways with God and got out of His will. Maybe as a Christian, you took a little time for some self-evaluation and you just realized at the turn of this calendar year, you know, I'm not where I used to be in my relationship with the Lord. Just, it's not there. My life is okay. Things aren't really suffering, but there is something missing. Well, can I just encourage you tonight? Maybe a trip back to where you first pitched your tent is what you need. Just back at the beginning. Getting back to how it was at the beginning. You see, folks, some mighty good things happened for Abram at the place where he first pitched his tent. And those are the things that Abram got back to after he had been in Egypt. You know, he came out of Egypt and he said, things aren't good. And that relationship with God is not what it was. And I remember how his direction and his leadership was so fresh and so real. And my relationship with him seemed so close and so personal. And now for these months, it's just been one problem after the other. And he got to thinking, you know, man, back at Bethel and Ai, where I first pitched my tent. Well, things were good there. And he decided that that's where he would go back. And you know what, child of God? If you look back, you may find a place where things were really going well for you spiritually. Let me ask you a question. What was happening there? And I'm not talking necessarily about a geographical place. I'm talking about a place in your heart. You look back and, I mean, you can remember that time of relationship with the Lord that was just so real and so precious and so wonderful. And yes, you know, life gets a little bit more complex over the years and so forth over time. But, you know, there's still that opportunity for sweetness and blessing and joy and the reality of God's presence. You know where it is? It's back at the beginning. It's back at the beginning. Where you first pitched your tent. And getting back there is so needful. Let me show you what Abram had there, where he first pitched his tent, that made it such a special place for him. Let me say, number one, that Abram's altar was there. Look at chapter 12 and verse number 8. Chapter 12 and verse number 8. Abram's altar was there. The Bible says, and he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord. Notice that as soon as Abram pitched his tent and established a dwelling place, he built an altar. He said, this is my home and God will be worshipped here. And this is where I will live. And this is where my family is. And God is the protector of my family. And God is the provider for my family. And I don't want to forget Him. His presence here is of the utmost importance to me. I've got to have God's touch. I've got to have God's blessing. And so he said, you know what? I'm just going to build an altar right here and I'm going to worship the Lord. You see, friend, look, the last person Abram wanted to offend was God. The last person he wanted to offend was God. He was in a strange land. He wasn't sure where he was going. And so everything about his life depended on God's leadership and on God's blessing. Abram had to be right with God. His livelihood depended on it. And I'll tell you, it would be much better for us if we get back to that same attitude. where we really believed that our livelihood depended on Him. Everything was from His hand. You know, do we really believe the same is true in our lives? Do we understand how vital it is that God is worshipped in our own hearts and that God is honored and that God is loved? Do we understand that He is the protector of our lives and the provider for our lives? Gentlemen, those of you who are the breadwinners for your family, the signature that's on the bottom of that paycheck and the company name that's in the top left-hand corner of that paycheck is not ultimately the provider of your well-being and your income. God in heaven takes care of you through those people. We ultimately have to understand that, friend. And I would imagine that there was a time when you had an altar. I would imagine there was a time when you had an altar. You had an altar individually. You had an altar in your marriage. You had an altar in your family. There was a time of worship and a time to recognize God and to acknowledge His presence and a time to reflect just how much He meant to you and to your life. I bet that's true about most everybody here. If you go back in your mind, there was a time when you built an altar. Maybe it was when you first got saved. Maybe it was when you first got married. And boy, the reality of responsibility of married life. And you built an altar. Maybe it was a time when you took that child home from the hospital, that firstborn, and held that life in your hands. And it dawned on you, my gracious, I'm responsible. And you built an altar. And you laid down some things. You know, God has got to be worshipped. And Lord, I've got to serve You and live for You and honor You. And I recognize, God, that everything that I've been given comes from Your hand. Friend, you understand that that's exactly what Abram had. He built an altar. And he said in chapter 13, verses 3 and 4, after he came out of Egypt, he said, I'm going back unto the place of the altar. I'm going back to the beginning. And friend, the simple fact is this. You are as close to your altar as you want to be. You're as close as you want to be. And I'm going to tell you something. My wife and I are very close. I think we are. We are enjoying married life now better than I guess we've ever enjoyed it. Just having the time of our lives. We really are. But let me tell you, God forbid that, I'm using a hypothetical situation here, but if her heart ever turned away from the Lord, do you understand that turning away from the Lord really wouldn't affect my altar, shouldn't affect my altar at all? There is nothing that happens to anybody else in life that should affect my altar. And God forbid that I would ever turn away from the Lord. But God, if that ever happened, and I'm speaking hypothetically tonight, just using it for an illustration. You know, the honest truth of the matter is it would hurt her. It would crush her. But my turning away from the Lord doesn't mean that she can't keep her altar in good shape. Is your altar in good shape tonight? You say, well, I've had a child disappoint me. I know, but is your altar in good shape? Well, I had a spouse walk out on me, but how's your altar? But if it didn't do me right at work, how's your altar? Well, somebody at church, I know that, but how's your altar? We're as close to our altar as we want to be. That place of our Bible reading, that place where we worship God, that place of acknowledging Him, that place of respecting Him and realizing that without You, God, we can't make it. Without You, God, I can't exist. Everything I have comes from Your hand. And God, I love You and I want to live for You and I want to serve You and I want my life to count for You, God. You're as close to your altar as you want to be. Take a little inventory tonight, friend. Have you wandered from that place? A Christian away from the altar of his Bible will ultimately suffer in his relationship with God. And if you have wandered from your altar, if you've wandered from that place that you built at that time in your life, that I'm talking about back in your mind when you remember being the reality of God's presence and His joy flooded your heart, and you look back on that now with fond memory. There was a reason that was going on. You probably built some kind of altar there. Have you wandered from that altar? You know, I tried to do a little evaluation. I asked the Holy Spirit of God, because our hearts deceive us. They're so crooked and corrupt, and they'll deceive us if we're not careful. And I tried to do a little evaluation of my life spiritually at the end of the year, last year, and the beginning of this new year. And you know, as I began to think about certain aspects of my life, I thought about my Bible reading. And I read my Bible last year, and I enjoyed it. But you know, it didn't do for my heart last year what it had done for my heart in previous years. And I changed my approach to my Bible reading last year just slightly. I went a different track at reading the Bible, and it just didn't fit. It didn't work as well as it did before. And I thought, when I came to the end of last year, and I thought about the experience that I had with my Bible last year, I said, you know what I think I'm going to do? I think I'm going to go back to what I know worked. I'm going to go back at the beginning. I'm going to go back to my Bible like it was before. And friend, I have enjoyed these first 10 days of this new year in the Word of God. Back to the old way. I approach the Bible reading now like I used to several years ago. And I changed some of that over the years. And I guess it was a bad thing, but it just didn't work for my heart like it had in years past. Look, there was a day when you built an altar. There was a day when I built an altar. We made some good decisions about our Bibles. We made some good decisions about worshiping the Lord and about living for God. Have you wandered from that altar? Abraham did. Got himself in a mess. When he came out of the land of Egypt, he said, you know, I'm going to go back to the beginning. And that's exactly what he did, back to where he built an altar. But now, wait a minute. Not only was Abram's altar there, number two, Abram's prayer was there. His prayer was there. He said in verse number 8 that he called upon the name of the Lord. Not only was Abram's altar there, his prayer was there. That's where he called. He began to call on the name of the Lord. He came out of the land of Haran obeying God. And when he built that altar, he began to call on the name of the Lord. Thank God for the privilege to call on Him. Friend, talking to God and calling on Him should be the normal result of our relationship with the Lord. If you were in the service this morning, I pointed out in the New Testament how that when Jesus talked about prayer, He did not say, if you pray. He said, when you pray. And the blessing of talking to God is absolutely immeasurable. Now, here's what I would imagine. I would imagine that most of you have some memory of a prayer life at the beginning. At the beginning. It might have been very elementary. It might have been very simple. But it was very real. It was real. Have you wandered from that? I told you, I gave a variation of this in staff devotions on Wednesday morning with the staff here at our devotion time. And so I've been thinking about this for the better part of over a week now, this passage of Scripture, because God spoke to my heart out of it as I was reading through this part. And then I mentioned this morning that this week, I think it was yesterday. Did this come yesterday? This came on Saturday. So this message is already pretty much penned and ready to go. In fact, I was going to preach it on Sunday morning, and I just changed it. I said, Lord, I think I'm going to do that Sunday night. And I got this letter from this guy named Charles Williams. Didn't know who in the world Charles Williams was. And I opened it up, and inside of it, here was a brochure. News from Shepherd's Lane Boys Ranch, and that's where I got saved in 1975. And he had written me a hand, and you can tell it's the handwriting of an older gentleman. You can tell that. He was a businessman in the 1960s. And so now it's 2010 now. He's probably late 70s, early 80s. And he wrote me a handwritten letter, and Dear Terry, and he wrote some things here. And then he said, P.S., he signed it Charles Williams, and he said, P.S., I helped Mike get to the roll-off home for boys. Mike Hagee was the guy that ran the home where I got saved. And he said, I helped Mike get to the roll-off home for boys. And sure enough, I began to look through this brochure. This was published before I got to the place. It's a very simple brochure back when Brother Mike was first started out and opening that boys' home down there. And Mike writes in here, and he's standing at the Fulton County Court in Atlanta, Georgia, and going to prison for 5 years for burglary and shoplifting. And he said, through the prayer and effort of a godly grandmother, I was introduced to a Christian businessman named Charles Williams. He told me about the Lord. Frankly, I thought he was a religious nut. Then he wrote, to make a long story short, he arranged to have me probated to a Christian home operated through the ministry of Evangelist Lester Roloff. And some days later, Mike Hagee got saved. Then he went to Tennessee Temple, Brother Tom, when Lee Robertson was there, 1967. Is that your time? 68. So in 1967, Mike Hagee went to Tennessee Temple. By the time he was a senior at Temple, he became the chaplain of the student body there. And then he moved up to Dayton, Tennessee, and he opened Shepherd Lane Boys Ranch. And in this little brochure right here, they just bought the acreage where I went at age 18 and got saved. They just bought it. And I looked through this, and I've told you before, I wish I could take you back, how simple that was. This old mountain people. That's where I got saved. That little mountain church in Graysville, Tennessee there. We came down off the mountain from Pikeville down to Graysville there to go to church. And they'd play their guitars and sing, where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I? Just I'm talking about simple. I'm talking about simple. But I got saved there. I built a couple of altars in my life. And after breakfast, we get up in the morning. We had chores to do every morning. I did all kinds of things there, all kinds of things. And then we'd go to breakfast in the dining hall, and we'd eat breakfast. And then we'd have devotions, and Mike would oversee the devotions. And so I remember getting saved, and then we went to had our breakfast, and we sat down. Mike sat in the, had an old chair in the corner of the dining hall. Was cut into two plates, had cut into two rooms, had a kitchen on one end, and kind of a living place on the other. And in the middle, there was tables where we ate our food. And so we got our food. We sat at the tables and ate our food. And then we went over to the place where the chairs and the couches were. And we'd sit down and we'd have our Bibles with us. And Mike said, okay, now it's time to have your devotions. Time to read your Bible and pray. He'd sit in the corner. He'd read his Bible. And I remember, you know, I was a brand new Christian. I was just saved. And I can remember taking a little piece of paper and just writing a few things on a piece of paper. And I'd read my Bible. And then I'd get on my face like this. I'd get on the floor on that carpet just like this. Throw that piece of paper down there and just lay there and pray over that prayer list. I wasn't married. I didn't have any children. It was simple. Day after day, I get on that floor, put my face down on that floor, pray over that prayer list. I've been thinking about this whole matter of going back to the beginning. Going back to the beginning. And then this comes in the mail. And I'm reminded of when I used to get on my face and how real it was. And you know what I found? He's still there. Oh, he's still there. It's as real today. It's as great today. It's as wonderful today. He never left. It's back to the beginning. The warmth of soul and the tug on the other end of the line that he was listening to me. And I was actually talking to the one who created me and put within me the breath of life. And made me an eternal soul. And knew the very hairs, the number of hairs on my head. And the one who had done all those miracles down through time. I was speaking to him. I remember the simplicity of that prayer life, as elementary as it was. Life's a little more complex now. I got a wife. Six kids with three of them married and one soon to be. And five grandkids. Five of them living 10,000 miles away. And relatives and friends. And a church full of people that I love. Some are hurting. Going through difficult times. Some marriages shaky. Some people struggling with their children. Some people on the cusp of things that they don't know what's going to happen in their life. Oh, life's a lot more complex now. I want to tell you something. Back at the beginning, where it's just on your face, in a very elementary way, talking to the one who created you, it's just as real, and there's just as much joy and as much peace there as there was back in 1975 when I first got on my face. You understand what I'm saying tonight? I don't have to go to Tennessee to get to that place. It wasn't the place. It wasn't the geographical place. It was the condition of my heart. It was the place that my heart was in. It was real. And I got saved, built an altar or two. And I built some more altars over the years after I got married and had children, started serving the Lord. And you know, Abram said when he came out of the land of Egypt and everything was just so confused, so messed up, because he'd taken everything into his own hands. And he said, you know, it was a lot simpler and it was a lot better and it was a lot more wonderful back at the beginning where I first pitched my tent. I'm going to go back to that place between Bethel and Hai, and back to the same altar and back to the place where I called the Lord. And the Bible says that when Abram went back to that place in chapter 13, verse 4, that Abram called on the name of the Lord. Listen. A little self-evaluation carried out by the Holy Spirit of God is good for us. Not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my father, not my mother, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Abram's altar was there. Abram's prayer was there. Let me say this, number three tonight, that Abram reset there. I believe he reset there. Back to the beginning for Abram, and he pushed that little red reset button. You know, every now and again you get one of those gadgets that has some kind of electrical circuit on it, and that electrical circuit is vital to the function of that thing, and it gets out of sorts on you, and you try all kinds of things to get it working again, and then there's that little place, that little button, that red button, and around it says reset button. And you push it. And somehow it resets all the circuitry of that electrical gadget. And it gets back on track and you start using it again and it works just fine. And that's exactly what Abram's altar and Abram's prayer was. It was a reset button for him. It was back to the beginning and he reset things. And he went on serving the Lord. I wonder if that's what you need tonight. Just to push the reset button. Life's a little more complex. Not as simple as it used to be. But friend, God is still the same God. You had an altar. You had a prayer. Maybe you need to push that reset button. And then let me say this tonight. Every once in a while, it doesn't hurt to build a new altar. A new altar. You know, I preached this morning, let us go on. I ended that message by saying, okay, saved, baptized, going to church, reading the Bible, been given and supporting missionaries. I got it all down. No, no, no. What's next? Let's go on. And one of the people said to me afterwards, upper middle-aged person said to me afterwards, said, Pastor, thanks for the message this morning. It's good to be reminded once in a while that even though we've been saved for many years and got a lot of things settled in our Christian life, God's not done with us. God's not done with us. And you know what? It doesn't hurt every once in a while to build a new altar. Build a new altar. I'm not going to say what it is. It's so simple, it's pathetic. But I said to my wife on January 1st, I said, I want to start something new this year for you and me. It takes about 3 minutes, maybe two, maybe four, just a few minutes. But it's something new, and we've enjoyed it. Enjoyed that altar together. It's a new altar for us, and we're enjoying it. It's something to do with the Lord, something to do with our marriage, something to do with our family, something to do with our relationship with the Lord. You know, friend, if we're not careful, we just put the thing on autopilot and say, you know, we'll just ride this thing on out. I don't know. Let us go on. What altar can you build? What new altar can you build? Do you need to go back to an old altar? Do you need to go back to where the altar you first built in the Christian life? Maybe you got saved and joined, made some decisions about your Bible reading. You've wandered from that and made some decisions about your worship and you've wandered from that. Had a prayer life, but you've wandered from that. And man, to be honest, things just aren't quite like they used to be. Well, there's a place. The altar and the prayer and reset button. You can decide tonight, just like Abram did. I'm going back to the beginning. Going back to the beginning. Remember how I used to read my Bible? And I remember how I used to pray? I remember how I used to worship God? And how real it was? And how precious and wonderful? And that's what I want to get back to. It's called back at the beginning. Let's pray tonight. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Father, would you please help us? It's a very simple thought, but I pray that you'll reach down tonight. Use it in the hearts of your people. God, I love these folks. I thank you for them. My heart longs to see them prosper spiritually and to know you. And Lord, my heart longs to know you in a greater way this year. Lord, there are some things that I need to accomplish in my life for you. Lord, just the simplicity of your of walking in the truth and loving you and honoring you with my life. God, I had some altars. And I had that prayer at that altar. And Lord, I need to get back. As you've impressed upon my heart, just back to the beginning. Would you help these dear folks tonight if somebody needs to get back to the beginning? Help us to return like Abram did to the place where he pitched our tent at the first. Speak to our hearts tonight in a very real way, I pray in Christ's name. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Let me ask tonight, did the Spirit of God speak to your heart, huh? Do you need to come out of Egypt with Abram and say, you know what? I'm going back to the beginning. At the place where my tent was pitched at the first. I had a relationship. I had a walk. I had a simplicity. I had a love. Well, God hasn't moved. He's still there. Pastor, pray for me. The Spirit of God touched my heart tonight. Lift your hand. Let me have prayer for you tonight as we close the service. All right. My Father in heaven, I love you. I thank you, God, for the privilege to preach your word. Lord, would you please take the message tonight and just squeeze our hearts. And God, help us to love you. Help us to have that sweetness, that simple, precious relationship. And even though life may grow complex, God, we don't have to leave our altar, our prayer. And if we have, help us to hit the reset button and worship you like we used to. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Ladies, a song of invitation is appropriate. Now let's pray tonight. Ask God to bless you. Would you come? Don't just slide down the aisle and kneel, but talk sincerely and think about the altar. Think about that for a minute, would you? You know, sometimes it takes a little time. Think about that altar. Would you?